Many are familiar with the name St. Patrick, so much so that the U.S. has a holiday named after him. But do we know anything about this person from history? Is he some noteworthy person or a beer-chugging leprechaun? Well, there's a lot we can learn about this man, and although there appears to be a lot of legend surrounding him, there are a few things that appear legit that we can learn. And as a disclaimer, I am not a historical scholar. Rather, I read what I believe to be credible books and commentaries and articles on both the Christian side and the secular side to try to come to a place where the information to me seems squared away. And for this topic, I've used Philip Schaff's History of the Christian Church and a few articles whose writings appear to be honest. And here's what I think believers and skeptics can agree on. Patrick lived around the late 300s to the late 400s. Where exactly he was born and raised is not confirmed, but believed not to be in Ireland, rather likely Wales or somewhere near there, possibly France. His father was in a position of church leadership. Schaff refers to him as a deacon. There was apparently a document written by Patrick called his Confession that he wrote before his death and that was transcribed around 8800. And also a letter to Caroticus, who raided Ireland and took several of Patrick's converts into slavery. And in his confession, he tells of his own sinfulness, reveals his father as a deacon who lived in a village called Banavim. And Patrick said that he was captured in that village when he was about 16 years old. And other sources reveal his captors as pirates involved in the slave trade, which was up and running at that point in the 400s. And he was sold in Ireland, where he was forced to work as a shepherd. And it's interesting how God uses shepherding as an occupation to prepare his people for ministry. Jacob was a shepherd, whose name was later changed to Israel. Moses was a shepherd, as God prepared to use him to lead the people out of Egypt. David was a shepherd, as God prepared him to become the king of Israel. And having some exposure to Christian teaching from his upbringing, Patrick began to pray while he was in slavery. And he is quoted as saying, "Every day I fed cattle, and frequently during the day I prayed. More and more the love and fear of God burned, and my faith and my spirit were strengthened, so that in one day I said as many as 100 prayers, and nearly as many in the night." Unquote. And in the few writings that are attributed to him, we have prayers documented. And when examined, we find them to be very Christ-centered, such as this one from the book of Armagh. And this is one of the prayers that Patrick had written down. It says, "I bind to myself today the power of God to guide me, the might of God to uphold me, the wisdom of God to teach me, the eye of God to watch over me, the ear of God to hear me, the word of God to give me speech, the hand of God to protect me, the way of God to go before me, the shield of God to shelter me, the host of God to defend me against the snares of demons, against the temptations of vices, against the lusts of nature, against every man who meditates injury to me, whether far or near, with few or many. I have set around me all these powers against every hostile savage power directed against my body and my soul, against the incantations of false prophets, against the black laws of heathenism, against the false laws of heresy, against the deceits of idolatry, against the spells of women and smiths and druids, against all knowledge which blinds the soul of man. Christ, protect me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wound, that I may receive abundant reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ with me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, Christ at my left, Christ in the fort, Christ in the chariot seat," and this is interesting, "Christ in the poop," apparently traveling by water it says, but "Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I bind to myself today the strong power of an invocation of the Trinity, the faith of the Trinity in unity, the creator of the elements. Salvation is of the Lord, salvation is of the Lord, salvation is of Christ. May thy salvation, O Lord, be ever with us." And that was a prayer. Man, that is intense. You can tell where his heart is. That's all centered on Jesus. You know, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he focused the prayers on God. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus told them, point your prayers towards God. And that's exactly what you have here. This is all about Jesus. This is an intense prayer by a man who believes. This is not the prayer of a half-hearted believer. In a 2015 article written by Joshua Mark on the topic of St. Patrick's, his opening remarks are, "St. Patrick's, 5th century, is the best-known patron saint of Ireland and one of the most successful Christian missionaries in history. He is credited with expanding literacy in Ireland through the monastic orders he established, revising and codifying the Brehon laws, and converting the country to Christianity. He was a Roman citizen of Britain known as Patricius, who was captured by pirates at the age of 16 and sold into slavery in Ireland. He escaped back to Britain, became an ordained bishop, and returned to the land of his captivity as a missionary in 432 to 433. He was not the first Christian missionary to Ireland, but the most famous. His influence on the land and culture of Ireland was enormous, as he championed the causes of women, the poor, and slaves, while conferring with kings and nobles. His death date is celebrated on 17 March, but the year he died, as with the year of his birth, is unknown. He is one of the three patron saints of Ireland, along with St. Brigid and St. Columba." So, during Patrick's time as a shepherd, as he was developing his prayer life, he heard a voice telling him to leave Ireland, adding that his ship was ready. And this set out Patrick on a journey on foot of around 200 miles, where he found a ship and sailed home. And once on shore, he traveled with sailors who mocked him for his faith, but God apparently did a few supernatural things that tuned the sailors up. He arrived home now in his 20s, undereducated and well-experienced in shepherding, as well as the Irish culture and people and all the drama that happened during those 6 years. And so he settled in at home. Patrick then described a vision where God called him back to Ireland to help the people, much like Paul's vision of the man from Macedonia in the book of Acts. And Patrick left home for Gaul, where he spent several years studying and ultimately ordained as a bishop. And with that, the doors were open for him to return home or stay put, but he decided to head back to Ireland, where there were already Christians established in the land. And he wasn't welcomed in Ireland initially, but knowing the language, the religions, and the people, Patrick began to share with the people in a way they could relate, such as a fairly well-known comparison of the shamrock to the Trinity, the three parts of the shamrock representing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one leaf with three distinct parts. He used that, and that apparently stuck. And Patrick's heart towards the people and teaching on their level that they could relate to won the hearts of many who turned to Jesus. And Patrick brought in Christ in a way that fostered the people's dignity and spiritual awakening from the darkness of paganism that filled the lands. And he showed the people who Jesus was by his love for the people, not cramming religion down their throats. And the results were transforming. The once pagan warriors were now becoming warriors for Jesus, and Ireland was becoming a holy nation of learning and faith, which would serve an important role in the plan of God. Because when Rome fell and was trashed by constant war, Ireland became a center for preserving great writings of the past and copying them so we could also learn from them. In the end, Patrick's life is a reminder of those God uses for great things, both in the scriptures and throughout history. Joseph was sold into slavery, but only to rescue his family out of a horrible famine and incubate God's chosen people, Israel, for several hundred years before God brought them out of Egypt into the land he had promised Abraham. Moses, the deliverer of the Israelites, he fled Egypt after having a hit put on him by Pharaoh and ended up serving as a shepherd 40 years before accomplishing his great mission. And Paul the Apostle was stripped of all of his self-righteousness and glory before he was sent out to share the gospel throughout much of the known world. Not to mention others throughout history who were allowed to endure a lot of suffering and other circumstances that were brutal, only to find that was the path that God had carved out for them. And that path ended with their great work for the kingdom of God. So what's your path? What things have you experienced that God can use for his kingdom? Are you willing to go where you don't want to go? Are you willing to love those who are different than you, maybe from another culture, race, religion, or language group? So on this day, review the story of a man that we know as St. Patrick and be inspired by a nobody who God used in a way that changed a country for eternity by loving the people with the love of God and sharing the truth of God, not religion, with them. And the next time you see a drunk leprechaun with a shamrock, know that this is not honoring a great follower of Jesus that we know as Patrick. It's rather mocking him. Because Patrick was a man who, like the writer of Hebrews wrote, the world was not worthy of them. Thank you.